Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Dead Star says, let's fucking go. Yes, I'm very tired today. I woke up early to go drive my car to the mechanic because I have my second car, really, my backup car. It wasn't starting anymore, so I think there's an electrical problem. I had to boost it to start it so I could bring it to the mechanic. And when I arrived in the parking lot of the mechanic, it stopped working. So I was just close to the parking spot and I had to push it manually to its place. But that led me to wake up early so that I could get in line for the mechanic so that it could be processed. As Reckles says, Queen Candace is naming Jews wild times. I mean, Candace Owens has always been on the sidelines of the center-right crew in that she has always distinguished herself in some degree of willingness to talk of white identity and some degree of willingness to talk about the Jewish question and Israel. And now the tension has built up into Ben Shapiro condemning her statements. We'll have a view at all of this. It's extremely interesting. You know, the Candace Owens Kanye West alliance is strong in the background in the end. And it's highly affecting the Daily Wire because Ben Shapiro, basically in coded language, is calling for her firing. He says with his, with his big eyes, he says, and she's still hired. She still works at my company. Wow. Will this company have the balls to say, we won't be a Jewish circle jerk like every other media for the last 60 years and keep at least one voice that is kind of Israel critical? We will see. But otherwise, I am very sad today. I see so much deception. We live in omnipresent deception and yesterday, I have reviewed ridiculous claims on the side of Israel, which started with, well, there's a common center of Hamas in tunnels located below an hospital. That's why we can strike the hospital. Down to, well, there's an elevator and, oh, here's a couple of Kalashnikovs. And, common center of Hamas is extremely exaggerated. When you review the evidence that I have reviewed yesterday. But despite the ridicule of these claims and the weakness of them, they're going with it. And today we hear, officials of the U.S. government saying it has been established with hard evidence, exactly like the Israeli reporter was saying, the same phrasings. It has been established with hard evidence that there was a Hamas command center below the hospital, so it was a fair strike. They're just going with it. They don't care about the seriousness of their claims. They don't care if everyone knows they're lying. They're just giving themselves a prima facie case with their own investigation and their own interpretation of the evidence. I see deception everywhere today. Nikki Haley, for example, calling for people to use their real names on social media.
When I get into office, the first thing we have to do, social media accounts, social media companies, they have to show America their algorithms. Let us see why they're pushing what they're pushing. The second thing is every person on social media should be verified by their name. That's, first of all, it's a national security threat. When you do that, all of a sudden, people have to stand by what they say, and it gets rid of the Russian bots, the Iranian bots, and the Chinese bots. And then you're going to get...
It gets rid of free speech also, and there is not a mechanism by which the U.S. government can keep people based on their speech to decline their identity. You're barely entitled to do this with someone walking on the streets. You're certainly not entitled to this. With someone just speaking freely and doing what is by definition just speech. I mean, the internet is just speech.
Some civility when people know their name is next to what they say.
And Dick Masterson has the perfect reply to this. that's not even her fucking name. This is how it is. They want you to be forced to reveal your name. Nikki Haley isn't even appearing on Fox News by her real name. Her real name is Nimarata Nikki Randhawa. What will the law be, Nikki? Will you have to be called? Will your Twitter account have to be called Nimarata Nikki Randhawa, or would it be okay that you use your edited name, Nikki Haley? AP Press says that it's a false claim that her name that she's using that she changed her name for political reasons. Now, what's the basis for their claim? They say, well, you know, Nikki is already her middle name. She always has gone by her middle name. So she just doesn't use her first name. Okay, so you could say that explains the Nikki. Oh, and the Haley, she married. She married a guy named Haley, and she took his name. And so we are asked to believe that it is not political motivation that leads Nikki Haley to use the name Nikki Haley rather than Nimarata Nikki Randhawa. In any case, soon you will all be obligated under the rule of Nikki Haley to reveal your real name. Valet, Dead Star, I will be asking you guys, please post a driver's license, a passport, and information about your height. I will need all of this very soon to respect her new rules. Another aspect of media deception, the coverage of the black guy who was a hockey player and who has killed another person with a slash of the blade of his skates. And you consult the media. D'Exerto publishes, UK police have arrested a man on suspicion of manslaughter following the death of Nottingham Panthers ice hockey player Adam Johnson. And what do I see? A white man being arrested by the police, a random picture of a white hockey player. I'm missing a critical information here. I'm reading this headline and I'm thinking, wow, some white hockey player has slashed the throat of, and I don't even get the name of the person who's accused of manslaughter. See, when there was Derek Chauvin, for example, Derek Chauvin, we know the name of Derek Chauvin, and they would keep titling, you know, white policeman has killed a black person. But now we don't see it. And so it took Aristophanes to go get a picture of the guy who did the skate slash of the throat. It is, his name is Matt Pedgrave. I've seen the video of the slash. There has been argument. It was a couple, maybe a week or two ago. There has been an argument on social media. Was it an accidental spinning? To me, it looked like an intentional head kick with a skate, with a cutting blade, as you know, equipped onto his feet. So now he got arrested for manslaughter. I don't know if there will be further charges, because perhaps sometimes the prosecutors start with the lowest charge that they can make a case for. Sometimes it increases, but people have been worried about this story, that the guy seemed like he wasn't going to get arrested, and the media was insisting very hard, and the hockey league was even saying it's a freak accident. Wait a minute. No one came out to say that when Derek Chauvin killed the black guy, well, killed, or you know, at that point it wasn't established that he had killed him. It wasn't judged by a jury that he had killed him. No one came out and say, oh, it's a freak accident. So why is it when it's a black guy who kills a white guy, we get the freak accident, we get all of the possible excuses, we get all of the attenuating factors, and we don't even have a picture of the guy. So manslaughter. Read the signs. Semiogog was asking, correct me if I'm wrong, but manslaughter presupposes that it wasn't intentional. The entire framing is therefore an exoneration. Well, I wouldn't say that that is the case. It could turn out to be that way. It could turn out that the prosecution is not even interested at winning this case, and they could turn out that way. But technically, manslaughter is not an affirmation that the action was unintentional. It is an affirmation that there is not available evidence that there was intent to kill. And so there might have been intent to hurt, but his mind may not have realized that it was going to kill the other guy. He may have thought, well, we're equipped enough, it's just going to hurt him, but I'm not going to cut his throat. he kicked him twice, says true guy, like some Bruce Lee cross kick murder. Yeah, so, and also you have to keep in mind that the prosecution sometimes will start with manslaughter, and then as they get more interrogation, more statements on the record, they will move to a more intentional murder category. So we'll see how it deploys, but it's not necessarily indicative of a bad intent on the prosecution side here. Mario Nafal says, Justin, White House officially confirms tunnels under hospitals. And this is where I'm depressed today. Calls it a war crime. What we need right now is leaders of the world to call a war crime the actions of Israel. The U.S. is saying it was a war crime to have 4 Kalashnikovs under the hospital. It was a Hamas war crime because it forced Israel to bomb the hospital and kill all these people. This is frustrating because you know you're not talking to people with good intent when it reaches that level of pulling by the straws. The U.S., the White House, is saying that the 4 Kalashnikovs we've seen yesterday in the hospital is a war crime committed by Hamas. Why do they do this? Because they want a category that allows a full response by Israel. And so now the next time you ask Israel, why did you kill these hundreds of innocent people in a hospital? The answer is we were stopping a war crime. Didn't you listen to the U.S.? We stopped a war crime. So, too bad. Too bad for the innocent victims. Dino Logovich says, I saw the baby bottle, JF. I mean, unbelievable. The White House states that Hamas and Islamic Jihad used hospitals in Gaza for operations, including detaining kidnappers and hiding weapons. Unbelievable. What was the evidence yesterday in the video that there was kidnapping? There was a little bout of rope, that long. The kind of rope you could find on my floors, the kind of rope you could find on any construction site, on any delivery site, because most things that get delivered, they are either wrapped in rope or in plastic wrap. That is the evidence. So the evidence that we were laughing our ass off at yesterday is today the evidence by which the U.S. affirms it's all good, good bombing, you got the hospital, you got Hamas. That is the code and meaning of what the U.S. is saying. And more deception. This is from yesterday, but I forgot to talk about it on the show. Pre-rape pamphlets. So Israel has found evidence that Hamas is planning to rape their hostages because there's a list of instructions. And And instruction number 7 is take your pants off. Pre-rape pamphlets literally is the evidence of rape in this war. So I was thinking, like, what would be the Western equivalent? A pre-rape pamphlet. You may have a little picture of a generic woman. So you're about to get raped. Now what? Or you have a lot of questions. It's normal. Let me explain the various steps of rape. I mean, number 7, take your pants off. I'm actually more at number 2 or 3, take your pants off. And I'm not even raping. In any case, there must be something that explains this thing. Mario Nafal came up with an update on this story. The source of this story is the Daily Mail. Upon further inspection, they made a translation error debunking their own story. We will post a new tweet calling out their error. So here's the new tweet, the update on the story. This is a translation document for Hamas members to be able to communicate with Israel victims on October 7th. The document includes statements such as drop your weapon, where is your weapon, where are your colleagues? What the Daily Mail did not realize is that the statement refers to males, not females. In Arabic, every verb can be either masculine or feminine, and in this case, it is masculine. So basically, the sentence was not take off your pants, and it wasn't meant for women. It was a little guide of how to interact with threats, and the guide was saying, you know, take off your weapon, drop your weapon. So we got a story that moves from a war atrocity type of porn, oh, we have the evidence, to, okay, yeah, those were just people coordinating and learning about how to handle threats from the other side. Unbelievable. And this goes into mainstream media like the Daily Mail. Now, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this amazing interaction between Candace Owen and Ben Shapiro, because Ben Shapiro has difficulty at this point living with the fact that he has as a coworker someone who is standing for kind of a white interpretation of the whole conflict and certainly an American interpretation. Of course, she goes at it from the perspective of a black woman, but she's very sensitive to white identity, and she makes a very solid argument against who here appears to be a defender of Israeli interest. Let's hear what she says and what led Ben Shapiro to say that this was condemnable for her to say this.
There are a lot of people in America that are sitting here going, okay, well, can you answer why Jews are so special? Because as white people in this country on university campuses, we are being taught that we are not allowed to have a voice. We have had to endure exactly what you're talking about, BLM. We've endured much worse than you have because it's in the actual textbooks. We are being told that we are systematically racist, that we are born wrong.
So she's talking about white people. White people have been attacked for many years now. Why is it that now the Jewish funders of universities are withdrawing their money from their donations to their universities? And they are doing so at a moment where there just happens to be populations in universities that are rooting for Palestine and that are calling out the behavior of Israel. Why didn't you withdraw your money when the whole university was attacking white people? Why wasn't then that you withdrew your funding?
Wrong because of the color of our skin. And if we say anything, we'll lose everything. This is the typical experience on white campuses. So people, this is not whataboutism. This is like actually what we have been fighting for years. So it sort of arrived as, I think, for a lot of Americans, a surprise when they're saying, well, now that it's about Israel, which is something that's overseas, we need to, you know, hand these university professors, we need to do something about this issue. Why weren't we trying to correct course on this issue? Why weren't donors pulling their funding out of these universities? Why weren't these same things being said for these last, I would say, 8 years of rampant?
That is a very good point. A very good point to raise to Israelis who don't feel ultimately that they were targeted by this anti-white hate. That's the whole trick. It's like the benefit of being white while not being white when you don't want to. And so she's calling out a very interesting double standard here. If you are so moral with your donations, why would you continue donating when they were attacking white people? And the answer is because they hate white people. Because they're fine with attacking white people. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, would you inseminate Candace Owen? And it's also related to someone. I forgot to read his chat at the beginning before the show. Someone was asking, Jeff, do you have standards when you choose your woman? Would you inseminate a Japanese? Would you inseminate people of other races? I will answer to both questions. Most of the time, the thing is, when you're a male, the male strategy is different. Because the male is competing in a skewed sexual marketplace. So you have to understand that many times in life as a male, your job is to play the game with the cards that you're dealt. And so There is not much of a standard that I have in the sense of refusing to have a baby with a woman with the alternative of having zero babies. In other words, if my choice is between a woman who wants to have babies with me and nothing, I will generally not choose nothing. I will generally choose the woman who's ready to have babies with me. Now, at different points of my life, that has meant dating not very beautiful women. In fact, quite ugly women. And at other times, it has meant dating super sexy women. So it's important to understand I do have preferences. Yes, I have a preference for beautiful, white, thin females. And then, second choice, beautiful, thin, Asian females. And then it goes down the list, and my preferences are ordered. And yes, I do have standards as to how I would compare one woman and another woman. However, my philosophy as a male is generally you have to consider the fact that having a baby with what you got is most likely preferable to having no babies at all. And the babies that you have now are not so inhibiting of your future babies you could have with some other woman. Now, there is some caveat to this. Going into the divorce lifestyle, as I did in rotation with like divorce after divorce after divorce and baby after baby after baby, that will shut down certain opportunities from you. You will be perceived on the market going forward as a divorced man. And there are some women who just don't want this. Okay, so you've deprived yourself of a part of the market once you do this. But you have to boil it down to the current choice that I have. If it's your first marriage and your first baby, and let's say there's this 6 out of 10 woman who wants to have babies with you, you have to understand in your computation, she's a 6 out of 10. She's not my ideal woman. But is having a baby with this woman keeping me? And let's say she's disloyal. So I'm not even sure that she will last more than a year with me. So you have to include all of this in your computation and say, if I don't have a baby with her, is there a 9 out of 10, a 10 out of 10 who wants to have a baby with me within the year? If not, then you're really choosing not to have a baby with the 6 out of 10. And to your alternative is to have no babies. And so you're going to be in a worse situation 1 year down the line, most likely, because most likely you won't improve your social status or your wealth. So down the line 1 year, you have zero babies and you're single. So it's not necessarily worth it to reject the low levels of the dating scene. Sometimes it's worth it to inseminate, give a chance to the relationship, take what you can get, and then pray for a better future if you're not super happy with it. That is what I've been doing. And what it has led to is a lot of these women end up dropping you, but you have babies with them. So you have babies out there who are living, and you can build on this to springboard yourself into higher quality relationships. So that is how I approach the question. But let's continue. And so the ultimate question was, would you inseminate Candace Owen? There are an infinite number of scenarios in which I end up inseminating Candace Owen. There are also some scenarios where I don't. In the current life that I have, because I have a beautiful, beautiful girlfriend who is much more beautiful than Candace Owen, there's no insemination of Candace Owen possible.
Rampant BLM, white man can't do anything right, actively being taught in the classrooms. So there are people that are asking that question. Now, what I have said is that explicit calls for genocide, which was stunning to me to see that in Congress, are completely wrong. It is frankly crazy. I have not weighed in on the IDF's response in the same way that I have consistently said through every war, Ukraine and Russia, I don't want to be involved. I have said I don't want to be involved in Israel and Palestine, all these conflicts. My consistency seems to offend people, right? But I haven't made a single tweet or a single comment on IDF's response in Palestine. I haven't said a single thing about that. I have said it is okay. Always sad when a child dies. And the lack of humanity that I have seen from both sides has been very...
So just saying that it's sad when a child dies is triggering the Ben Shapiro's of this world at this point.
Troubling for me. But weigh in and suddenly wave an Israeli flag and say things that, you know, because you decide that you get to use my platform because it's personal to you, how is that fair to people? How is that?
Exactly. So she feels the pressure that as long as she's not a member, a fighting member of the IDF and carrying the Israeli flag, they will be after her. And she's right. Just the mere concern for humanitarian respect of any kind is triggering people in this milieu.
Is that fair? And then to then go a step further and to suggest that it might be anti-Semitic, which is basically silence is violence, is a leftist tactic, to me feels very extreme.
This is not about a geographical, geopolitical dispute between Israel and Palestine. This is about an ideological mission to rid the world of Israel and the Jews. That's what I think people misunderstand.
Well, yeah, but you weren't alarmed when there were people wanting to rid the world of white people. So count me out as an ally here. Good luck with your survival in the Middle East.
Yeah, Jews live very comfortably in the United States of America. So they're not going to be, obviously Jews.
So Candace here is touching on sensitive feathers of the Jewish bird. She's saying, oh, well, you know, there's no sign of genocide in the U.S. But what you have to understand, Candace, is that Jews are raised into a paranoid perception that there's risk of genocide everywhere. And so that's exactly what he's going to come back with.
He lived comfortably in Germany before World War II. Before either, Germany
come on,
too.
I
see they are truly raised at having this fear and carrying it all of their life, no matter where they go.
They did. Doctors, lawyers,
really struggle. I really.
And Candace Owen is like, I really struggle. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Based Candace Rising? What do you struggle with, Candace? I hope she doesn't struggle with too much here.
Struggle when people start using, you know, things that have happened in the past that are abhorrent, like slavery, to say that, like, if this doesn't happen.
I love how she rotates it to slavery. She doesn't talk about the Holocaust at all. She's like, okay, you laid out a basic logical structure here. Let's examine this. I don't like it when people take slavery that happened in the past and say, therefore, the current days are XYZ. The current state of threat is XYZ.
And then slavery is going to be back. Or if this doesn't happen, then it's going to be the Holocaust too. I think there's a lot more meaningful.
Absolutely beautiful. She covers her. I think that there should be a section in the moral signal about this. What she just did is brilliant. She has sugarcoated her denial of Holocaust concerns with a suffering from her own race. And Kanye West does a lot of this. He did this in front of Lex Fridman. It's very interesting. You sugarcoat, and now as you dismiss your own historical suffering, you are suddenly morally allowed to dismiss the historical suffering of the opponent. Absolutely brilliant.
Full chatter and discussion that we can have. We don't have to resort to that kind of, you know.
History repeats itself if you forget it. You know, you have to be conscious, and Jews especially, unfortunately.
This guy keeps with the tape cassette. He's like bugged. He's not listening to what Candace is saying. He's just adding over it.
I'm a grandchild of all four of my grandparents are Holocaust survivors.
What are the odds of that? That's another way to say it. Your grandparents have lived. When everyone survives... When every one of your family survives an event, Nicholas Peters says, that's an awful lot of survivors.
So what do you make of the Holocaust survivors and the Jewish people in New York City that are protesting on behalf of Palestine? That's a great...
Oh, and so now she's trying a reversal that is perhaps less quality than the previous one. She's saying, well, there are descendants of Holocaust survivors who are siding with Palestine here and who are saying, hey, let's stop the humanitarian aggression against the civilians of Gaza. It's kind of interesting, but at this point, it's like fallacy over fallacy over fallacy.
Great question.
I think that there's a very strange, bizarre, it's the same people that you would condemn as the people of the white people who bowed down to BLM protesters, who hate themselves and feel a certain sense of guilt. They feel a certain sense of, I think a lot of the ideologies on the woke left, to the extent that things are good and prosperous and virtuous, they condemn as bad. And the things that are broken morally and depraved, they see as good.
Oh my God, he's framing it as the left dislikes Israel because Israel is great. The left likes Gaza because Gaza is depraved.
This is the lens by which the far left views things. And I think these Jews that happen to be politically far left and maybe are not that connected to their Judaism or are culturally Jewish, but don't have a strong Jewish upbringing. Not to say that politics and being a Jew go hand in hand with the same political identity. But my point is, just like those, the white people.
They're not Jewish enough. That's what you just said. If they were a little more Jewish, if they had a little more Jewish training, a little more Holocaust narrative, a little more, inserting all of these persecutions, historical persecution ideas in their mind as they were raised, they would not side with Palestine. Dino Logovich sends a super chat. He says, I think it was Yitzhak Shamir who admitted there was too much hate on all sides, and the hope in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict ending was for the future generations to solve. Good luck, kiddies. It's not happening until there is a crushing of one side or the other. Ali Meir says, what do you think of this notion that's being propagated where we're supposed to believe there is an inherent difference between the people and governments of these tiny ethnostates. When you're an ethnostate, the people are the government and vice versa, no? Not sure I understand the sense of your sentence. The people and the governments. Okay, so you mean the Israeli civilian versus the Israeli political class and the Palestinian civilians and the Palestinian governmental class or Hamas class? I guess that's what you're asking about. And should we distinguish between the two? I think there's always a distinction. By definition, the people in power will always be a subset of the whole, and they will always have, just by random or by other factors, selection factors, they will end up being different from the average people of their country, maybe by wealth, sometimes maybe by preferences, by behavioral dispositions of all kind. So no. Goway says, where is JF reading this message? Is he streaming, multi-streaming now? No, that was a super chat by Alimer earlier, but I had forgotten to read it earlier. And Alimer says, yes, they're saying the government of Israel doesn't represent the people. Oh, well, when they say that, that's a kind of moral trick to dissociate the actions of one so that they are not born, so that the people do not bear the responsibility of the actions of their governments. And here, I'm going to ban this guy right here. There's a bunch of trolls. I think they have come out for the purchase of Odyssey. I think they're trying to ruin the reputation of Odyssey. So they make all this hate speech on the chat. Anyways, to continue my answer to Alimer, I think it's a moral trick. Sometimes, though, it is relevant. Like, there are things that the Canadian government or the U.S. government does that I totally disagree with. So there are various attitudes and debate to try to take an individual who may not agree with his government, but still make the argument that somehow he benefits from these actions. Like, there could be an Israeli in front of me saying, I disagree with striking the Gazans, so you shouldn't hold me to account on this. And first, the question would come, are you paying taxes? Are you participating to Israeli in any way, to Israeli society in any way? Because you're participating to a system that ultimately funds those actions. And there would also be the question of, you know that you're benefiting from your, just the mere fact of your existence, you are benefiting from these colonial actions that have been taken for 80 years to ensure your presence on this territory. There's also another tactic which has been pulled by Sam Harris against the Muslims at some point, where Sam Harris wanted to kind of attach the whole terroristic outcomes to the whole of Islam. And he wanted ultimately to make the argument that it's an effect of the religion. And for that, what he had taken is surveys. He had made the argument that, okay, there's a small minority that ultimately commits terroristic actions, but there is a large section of the Muslim population that agrees with these actions. And so that's how he tried to insert this kind of bigotry. Valet says, pray for me, guys. I just hate Taco Bell because I was too busy to cook and it was on the way home. Instant regret. Taco Bell is, it's weird, this place. You're never quite satisfied by Taco Bell. I'm like, whenever I'm in a restaurant, I want your most impressive meal. Like, I want to see the double Big Mac. Show me this. I want to bite in layers of beef. Give me something that knocks my hunger. I want to knock my hunger. But when you go to Taco Bell, there is no such thing as a meal that is satisfying. It's like eating infinite amounts of cardboard. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to take the triple wrap quesadillas, just extra this, extra that. They give it to you and it's like, you unwrap it. And at the middle, you have basically a little, a piece of rolled bread with some cheese spread on it. It's amazing how Taco Bell doesn't have heavy hitters. Yes, Valet, heavy hitters. He says it's the same ingredients, but in varying formats. Exactly. Like, I tried the Taco Bell maybe two or three times in my life. You try one meal and it's like, oh, cheese and chicken and salsa. And you try another meal and it's the same thing, but the ingredients are reversed and they cook the top instead of the bottom. <It's> What the fuck? Who is planning all this kitchen, all these culinary practices? Villain says, Jeff, another sales comment. What's your take on salespeople that make their money off people going into debt but pay everything cash in their personal life? Let's have a full sales psychology show. My process is syndicatism and brutal. You would love it. I don't know what you mean by syndicatism and brutal. But yes, there is a problem with the... I don't know if it's a sales mentality. I think it affects much bigger than the sales domain. But there is this consumerism that people are thrown into. And there is another way to live that is so much better. And it is not promoted at all. Which is live by your means. Pay for your stuff cash. Don't depend on loans, credit cards, that kind of stuff. And it's the Bitcoin philosophy in a way. So I hope that we develop a whole new philosophy of educating children into this mode of life, because it's much better for the human mind. The stress that it can have to have all these payment deadlines and these coming expenses and these subscription renewals, it's impossible for the human mind to thrive in this context. Okay, so he didn't mean syndical, he meant cynical. Okay, yes, cynical, I agree. Valet says, debt is profitable for the moneylender. Yeah, and this whole idea that the future can be sold, that time, that your future self can be sold, it borders slavery, really.
Who in mass were bowing down and feeling guilty about themselves simply for being white, or people who feel guilty for being successful, or the anti-capitalists who say anyone who has something is necessarily bad. Some people buy into that sort of masochism of hating themselves and to gain favor with people who want their destruction. It's really sick.
So would you say that in order to be a Christian, you have to support the Vatican? Like, you can't be a Jewish person that doesn't support the state of Israel. Is that what you're implying? Yeah, well, because I have Jewish friends that are pro-Israel and I have Jewish friends
Okay, so the discussion becomes less interesting, but just this and this other comment, which Richard Spencer said, Candace is on the war path. She is on the warpath. She is just below the Eye of Sauron, employed at the Daily Wire, an extremely Jewish outlet. And there she is, standing her ground for an American view of all this. And that is beautiful to see.
Well, I am here today to endorse Nikki Haley for president of Israel. I think she's earned that. I think Bibi Netanyahu is going through a very bad time right now. Support for Israel has virtually collapsed socially. If you're paying attention to the trends and you're paying attention to what people are watching, you're paying attention to the protests. And the one person that I think is capable of getting it back is Nikki Haley with enough money from foreign interest lobbies. So there it is, guys.
Ouch. On top of it, she adds the foreign interest lobby. Ouch.
I'm endorsing Nikki Haley, president of Israel.
Now, those are not the kind of things you can say at the Daily Wire without putting a certain member of the Daily Wire in high discomfort. And so here he is at his night of, I don't know, is this some Jewish celebration? Is this the Hanukkah or whatever? There he is saying, our behavior is unacceptable.
Yes, the question is about Candace Owens. I think her behavior during this is disgraceful.
I don't know what he says. Our behavior during... or our behavior, I believe, is wrong, or our behavior, I believe, is whatever. Whatever he says, he is basically confirming what the question of the person was, which is, yes, I condemn it. I'm against it. He says, this administration?
Without a doubt.
He says, without a doubt. She still works for my company. Let's listen to this part again. She still works for my company. So he's suggesting, first, that it's weird that she still works for his company. Second, that he may not be able to go as hard onto her as he would want. Because it's like, please understand, I won't be able to say much because she still works for my company. But you can see his eyes. His eyes are a call to action. He's like, she still works for my company, and maybe it's time for her not to. Maybe it's time for her to go. Call to action, eyes, meanwhile confirming that he is disagreeing with her statement.
I think her faux sophistication on particular issues has been ridiculous. It's not faux sophistication, it's ridiculous. Everybody can see the moves that she's making and the things that she's saying, and I find them disreputable.
Everybody can see the things that she's saying and the moves that she's saying. Of course we can, but it makes sense. We need a media voice in this country of someone who can stand to the foreign interests that are manipulating our political system, our mediatic system, and our heart system, and our institutions, and our Supreme Court, and our universities, and our research academia. We need someone, at least one voice in the media, who's capable of saying, no, I'm not buying into that bullshit. It would be super easy for me to buy into it. It would be super easy for me to say what everyone wants me to say, but I won't say it. And Candace Owens appears to have risen as this person for now. That is great. And yes, we can see her moves, but the way Ben Shapiro talks about it, it's like those are vicious moves. No, she's placing herself to be there when the Jews have completely lost credibility on this Israel issue because they're too biased about it, they're too emotional about it, they're too insistent on always winning, no matter if it takes a lie to do so. There will be reasonable voices like those of Candace Owens who will, from the quality of their contribution and from their principled stance of stand your ground against this kind of foreign influence, they will rise to the top naturally, and that is great. Dino Logovich says, are we taking bets for when Candace leaves? Well, I was betting that Matt Walsh at some point was going to be too hot for Daily Wire. At this point, I would say Candace is probably even hotter than Matt Walsh. I don't know if they will get rid of her, because if they get rid of these two, they are back to really just a general Jewish outlet like everything else. And it kind of sucks. Candace Owens responds to Jewish colleague Ben Shapiro publicly attacking her for criticizing Israel. She says today, blessed. No, she didn't say blessed. She says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow. And she adds, Christ is king. This is responding to Ben Shapiro with the words of Jesus Christ, as Valet describes it. Jesus Christ, who is considered by Ben Shapiro to be a low-level criminal of his time. You know, that's one thing that Ben Shapiro once said about Jesus Christ, that he was just a minor criminal of his time. And here Candace Owen is quoting this criminal and basically doing exactly what Jesus has done and throwing the tables onto the floor and calling out the Jews of the temple, really. That's what she's, the Jews of the market. She is standing right at the heart of it and saying, you guys are all bullshit. I'm not being bought. I'm not kneeling. That is a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful Candace moment. I remember that she had shown sign of brazenness in the past. She had touched on the Hitler question, and and it was, she was leaving it heard that perhaps she is brazen, but I think it's coming out better and better. And here she is. She is in the right, and the Daily Wire has a choice. Either you get rid of her, and then eventually the world will drift away from your outlet. Eventually white people, black people will know that your outlet is not for them. Or you keep her, and then we have a true independent voice on the right that is not sellable to Jewish interest. That is interesting. Dave Portnoy is happy that someone got fired from Business Insider. Apparently, both Dave Portnoy and Elon Musk are celebrating because he was one of those at the Business Insider who were writing hit pieces and were directing the journal toward you know, ruining reputations and soiling reputations.
Oh, hey there. So I don't know if you heard the news today. My guy, Henry Blodgett, out at Business Insider. Kicked upstairs. CEO, see ya. That's right. Henry fucking Blodgett. Long time coming. Of course, this is the guy who's a crook. Got kicked off...
was banned from the financial industry, so he built a financial media empire. Ah, okay, so he was too dishonest in the financial industry, but as it turns out, the media industry has no standard. That's the right place to be for dishonest people.
Got kicked off Wall Street, telling people to buy stocks while sending emails saying they're trash, stealing your grandmother's money. Should have been in prison. Lock him up. Henry, that guy. The guy who stole healthcare from all his employees. They had a strike against him. I joined that strike. The guy who tried to run me out of town with the hit piece, because that's what they did at Business Insider. They tried to get cheap clicks, fake stories. That guy's gone.
Okay, well, he seems very happy about it. I'm happy for him. I lost my virginity at 21. I'm 22 with a body count of 9. I'm still in love with my first body, but if he treats me like a booty call, so I fucked his boys as revenge now. He took it too far and fucked my cousin and sent nudes of me to my brother. My family has disowned me. Well, you shouldn't have pursued all of these sexual relationships for self-gratification and for all these stupid reasons that you did. You should have pursued a stable marriage. U.S. releases billions to Iran. That is kind of weird. The U.S. suddenly has decided that they were waiving for 120 more days the ability of Iraq to pay Iran for electricity. And they have put a condition that the funds must be used for humanitarian stuff only, or humanitarian trade. I don't know what that means. Something is bizarre in this news item. Why, if the U.S. is so enthusiastic at protecting Israel, why would they give so much money to some, well, not give, but let some money be given that could be used for funding terrorists? I thought that the Iranians were funding all the terrorism. Maybe it's a trap. Maybe they're like, hey, let's make sure that money gets to Iran, and then let's monitor them. Let's put some conditions on the money, and then we're going to catch them red-handed. We're gonna see some financial transfer, and then we're going to argue for even more control. I don't know. Maybe it's the 6D chess that they're trying to play. I don't know. But it's kind of bizarre when you get told every day that Iran is funding terrorism, and then this decision of, oh yeah, Iran, it's okay if they get money. Valet says, I can't refer to my era of promiscuity as a body count because I do have an actual body count. That is funny. No, Valet says this as a soldier, I believe, because Valet is a soldier, so he may be saying this for real. But what I thought you were about to say is men have difficulties saying body count because we get suspected of murder. That is a problem. You know, woman, it's like body count. Everyone knows what it is. It's the number of guy that she had sex with. If I'm around and I say, hey, I have a body count of 200, it's like, Jeff, did you kill 200 women? That would be the suggestion. That's an amazing book cover by Aaron Clary. I don't know about the guy. I might actually buy this book. A World Without Men, an analysis of an all-female economy. And there are craniums stacked one above the other. Yeah, so basically this guy has went through the thought process of what happens if females start controlling the world, and it ends up in a pile of cranium, amazingly. Strip clubs, dick pics, and booze. FDIC revealed as misogynistic free-for-all in a new expose. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, a toxic work environment where strip club visits, sex with underlings, and drinking at work, not to mention male workers texting female co-workers photos of their genitals, were all part of the day-to-day culture. Well, okay. Whatever. Frog Eyes says, JF, can you cover the Daily Mail article titled Sex Change Doc Unveils Radical New Transgender Surgery? I can put it in my notes, but I'm not going to pull this on the screen tonight because I have to consult it. I do not do illustration of disgusting surgeries or things that are of a gore or disgusting nature of any sort. Okay, I'm looking at it, and it's there doesn't seem to be such pictures. sexchange.doc unveils radical new transgender surgery, swapping the male and female genitalia between two trans patients at the same time, as colleagues decry huge risks of procedure. Surgeons currently put removed genitals in the garbage. Instead, he will swap the genitals of a male and female patient in one procedure. I don't have a strong opinion. I mean, it's going to come with all sorts of complications for sure. And it's going to be the tissue of someone else. So you're going to end up as a transplantation patient, which is not trivial for all of your life. This means medication for the rest of your life, probably, just to fight the immune system response. But when you compare this to the other sculpt the penis from the skin of the arm surgery, this might actually be, it might have some advantages medically. They're going to need a couple of decades of research before this could be mastered and doable at relatively low risk. But, you know, the key as a surgeon, and because I'm a surgeon, I have been doing surgery on monkey brains. One of the things that is a critical principle of surgery is it's certainly better to reuse something of the body than to just make something up from like something in plastic or in metal. It is, biological tissue likes to be replaced by biological tissue. And so the more the surgeon is involved into making something artificial, the more risks you have that your surgery will fail or lead to death. So from the perspective of, we have these surgeon sculptors at this point who are sculpting non-functional penises out of pieces of arm. Between this and having the penis of someone else, maybe it's going to end up safer. But I suspect it will never be safe to the point of being appealing or even, recommendable. But it's going to be less grave than the other alternative. Barnaby Buto says, isn't it the case that there's more M2F than F2M trans? If so, at some point, some psycho will be pressuring more girls to transition to make more vaginas available. That is horrible, but you are absolutely right. That would probably happen. Knowing the communist of the left, and it's like, it's always your responsibility to equilibrate stuff and undo the injustices of the world. They're gonna start saying, oh, well, there's a vagina shortage. And holy shit, man, it's not easy to live with these leftists. New York Governor Kathy Hochul announces the state has started conducting special media surveillance effort.
Also, we're very focused on the data we're collecting from surveillance efforts. What's being said on social media platforms? And
you're not supposed to. Precisely because it is being said, that shouldn't be your concern as the government.
We have launched an effort to be able to counter some of the negativity and reach out to people.
Negativity is totally allowed under the First Amendment. This is not your role as the government.
When we see hate speech being...
Hate speech in America is protected by the First Amendment.
Spoken about on online platforms. Our media analysis...
Does she have a drooping eye here?
Our social media analysis unit has ramped up its monitoring of sites to catch incitement to violence.
So they will always phrase it as incitement to violence because they want to give themselves a legitimacy outside of the bounds of the First Amendment. And so they're going to say, oh, we're just really interested in crimes and threats of crimes. But the reality is they are... They are developing monitoring systems that are meant to catch much more than just crimes. Final news item before we close the show, and I'm going to go sleep because I've been tired today. If it requires the labor of others, it is not a human right. And I would add that that is true. That is true. But I would add the Black Pill follow-up to this statement. Therefore, there are no human rights. And people have had difficulty with that one. They were coming back to me and saying, well, JF, certainly there are human rights that exist that do not require labor to exist. And I was like, give me examples. And they were like, well, free speech or the right to have your own gun without anyone else around you telling you you shouldn't have your gun. And I was like, well, in a world where there are pirates ready to invade on your free speech right, and they are committing aggression against you for stuff you have said, or in the same world where there are pirates who want to take your guns, and the pirates may be independent pirates, they may be governmental pirates, but suppose there's people wanting to deprive you of these rights. Now suddenly you need human labor to stop them. And therefore you need human labor to preserve any right. You need a force to protect any right you may ever have or you may ever think you have. Therefore, there are no natural human rights. That's really what I meant. There are only the rights you're willing and capable of protecting. That is it. Bye-bye. Thank you.